right, take your Bibles and let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. We'll try to finish up. We'll review a little bit of last week's lesson and try to finish that up today. Genesis chapter 12. The series is the resilient life. What do we mean by that? The overcoming life. The life that keeps on moving, keeps on going, keeps on serving God no matter what we face. And we're looking at Abram, or Abraham, as we would call him, and his life and part of his journey. And so we need to remember that the journey is the reward. In other words, as we move along in life, there are certain things we experience that should draw us closer to God, mature us, make us better Christians, and help us to get closer to the Lord as we make that journey. And I think we see that in Abraham's life. And part of that is overcoming the unknown. And certainly we see that from the very outset in Abraham's life, the unknown, overcoming the unknown. Now let's look at these verses again very quickly, and you'll see as God spoke to Abram and what he was facing. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He wasn't going to show him then. And I will make of thee a great nation. That's a promise. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Two more promises. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth be blessed. As I said earlier in the last week's lesson, we all face things that we don't anticipate, uncertain times that are on our journey that are yet even in the future in our journey. And if you know the problem, you can sort of solve the problem. If you don't know the problem, you really have to kick in faith. And you know some contingencies. You think about your future and you think, well, this could happen, that could happen. I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the future. And we really don't know the future. But we have to identify with Abraham and trust the Lord even in the unknown things. And God told him what he was going to do, but he didn't know exactly what it was. And so he had to trust the Lord. Now, he lived around 1850 B.C., and, of course, he was the father of the nation that we would call Israel. He was 75 years of age when this promise was made to him. Keep in mind, at 75, he had no children. He had no children, yet God had made that clear to him that he was going to have all of these blessings and be a blessing because of that. Abraham left what was a comfortable area, comfortable home, comfortable people, all of those that he knew, and he went to what would be considered the unknown and the uncomfortable. If we can show the slide of that map, you'll see where he went, and he went from the Ur of the Chaldees. Do we not have the map up? Okay, there you go. Thank you. The Ur of the Chaldees on up to Haran, and then back down south to Canaan, to Dan and Canaan, and then he went down to Egypt for a little while. We'll touch on that, and then back up into that area where God dealt with him and where he had to go to Mount Moriah. But he really didn't know exactly where he was going, but he left the Ur of the Chaldees and then wound up in another area there in Hebron. Probably he passed through what we call Abraham's Gate, and that was up in the northern part. And that had been there before he came through that area, but just gives you a little idea of part of the journey as he went through and probably went through what we would call, what is called now Abraham's Gate. He heard God's voice. God spoke to him, and what did he do? Panicked and went into deep depression. No, he obeyed God, didn't he? He just heard the voice, and he followed God. Now, what did that take? Well, it took faith. And faith is necessary for us to have the right relationship with God. faith is necessary for us to have the right relationship with God. If you don't trust God and have faith in God and His plan for your life, you're not going to have the right relationship. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by what? Not doubt or worrying or fretting, but by faith. We're to live every situation by faith. How did you become a Christian? By faith, didn't you? You trusted the Lord, what He promised. You said, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, and He paid my sin debt, and therefore I ask God to save me. And God placed us into that relationship. Genesis 15:6, the same was true of Abraham. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for what? Righteousness. For righteousness, he believed the Lord. So our beginning point is by faith. We get saved by faith, and then it should continue. It doesn't end there. An ongoing life, a Christian life that has faith in God, trusting God, having faith in Him. And some of the things may seem impossible, but we know that God specializes in the impossible, what we can't see. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. So we have to believe that it's possible what He can do and not believe that it's impossible. Just trust Him. And without it, you're not going to please Him. So number one in the outline, just by review, faith to follow. We need faith to follow. Faith is exercise. We have to exercise faith. You can't just hold faith in. You got to exercise it. You got to get it out of the practical point of your mind into action and shoe leather in your life. And so we have to exercise that faith. A dormant faith is no faith at all. It's got to be active. We can say, I have faith, and we can say, yeah, I believe God can do that, or yeah, I believe He can take care of it, and then we can go into a deep depression and worry and fretfulness right after that. We can believe that He can do it, but we've got to exercise it. And so that's exactly what Abraham did. He believed God, and he went. He heard, he followed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him in verse 4. He departed in Genesis 12:4. So he received his word, and then how? By faith he obeyed the Lord, and Abraham lived that life one day at a time. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He just continued to serve the Lord. And as I said last week, sometimes we say, Lord, you show me what to do and show me what you're going to do. And if it fits my plan, then I'll accept it, and I'll do that. But if it doesn't, I'm not going to do it. We've got to commit by faith to the Lord as He shows us those things. Be ye not doers, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If we don't do those things, then we're just deceiving ourselves. And we need to put ourselves maybe in Abraham's place, all that he went through, and how he still trusted God. Suppose he had rationalized the thing. Said, well, I just don't see how that's going to work out. I've got faith, but I'm not moving out. I want to stay with my family. I want to stay with my father. I want to stay with my relatives. I want to stay with my kin folks. And I happen to enjoy the Ur of the Chaldees, so I don't want to move out. But I know God could do it, but I'm just not going to do it. Faith acts, and we move by faith. And so we have the word faith that is used in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 some 16 times. And 15 times it's talking about a personal, individual faith that is there. Faith reveals itself by action, and we can't be passive. No passive faith in God's word. Faith moves. Faith believes God. Faith doesn't worry. Faith does not fret itself. Faith does not allow fear to come in. We trust God. We are relying on the faithfulness of God. And so we have problems today, And we can count on the fact we're going to have problems in the future. But we have to trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Every bit of it, all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We won't understand a lot of things. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. We just have to trust God. And Abraham did that, and he exercised that faith and stepped out. So faith is exercised, and then faith is expectant. Faith is expectant. God's promises made Abraham obey. God promised, and he said, well, this is what God promised, so I expect God to answer and to fulfill his promise. Abraham's faith produced a friendship with God, a wonderful friendship. Isaiah 41:8, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. He called him his friend. Are you a friend of God today? Can you say that you feel like in your heart that you are a friend of God because you really trust God in all circumstances like you should? James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So he was then called the friend of God. That's a great thing to be said about anybody. I'm a friend of God. And so he did that. And that was based on the imputed righteousness based on his faith that he had. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's all by faith. And so the basis of our friendship is trusting him. Are we trusting him? Now, in Abram's life, sometimes he faltered a little bit in his faith, didn't he? And sometimes it lapsed a little bit, and we're all prone to have that. But all the time, as you follow his journey, he was growing. He was learning. He was building up more faith. And he was learning through all of those experiences that God was there and God was going to take care of him. And so he trusted him. And then Abraham's faith required patience. You ever need patience? we say, God, give me patience and hurry up. Abraham's faith required patience. He had to wait on the Lord. God made those promises to him, promise of the land, the promise of the descendants, and then the promise of the blessing through his seed. Maybe he was thinking about, well, how long is that going to take? I don't know. But God delayed things. The land, 400-year delay. The son, 25-year delay. And then ultimately, it was 1,800 years before Christ was born. So the blessing was in the journey. He grew in his knowledge of God. He grew in his experience with God. And that's what we're supposed to do as we live, grow in our knowledge of God and experience. Serious Christians, I believe, love and want to have a close relationship with God. And yet sometimes we don't want to take the patience to go through the process where God brings us to that place. And that can be ongoing, walking with him. But the journey, if we learn like we should, is a reward. And we do it on God's timetable, not our timetable. And anyone can rejoice when it's good, but when there are tough times, we have a harder time rejoicing. But we learn to do that, and God blesses us. Psalm 25, 4 and 5, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Waiting upon God. What's he going to do? How's he going to take care of it? I don't know. But I just have to wait on him, and you have to wait on him. So faith to follow. And then secondly, faith for the journey. It was a traveling faith. The journey as we saw it, and then Hebrews 11:9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, and Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise that was given. The only land he owned there was the land that he purchased to bury Sarah, his wife. But it was a traveling faith as he went through that land. And then it was a tested faith. It was very tested. And Genesis 12 continues, and then on to Genesis 13, Abraham's faith is being really tested. In 12:10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, this is where he didn't exercise faith like he should. He should have stayed where God told him. He should not have gone down into Egypt. Egypt is always a type of the world, going to the world. Sometimes we go to secular psychiatrists, and we go to secular philosophy and all of that. And that's not where the answer is. We don't go to the world for our answers. We don't go to the world to have our faith boosted. We go to God. But this was one of the things that he did that was not the right thing to do. So it was a tested faith. And God was allowing this in his life. And so he does in my life, in your life. Sometimes some things happen we don't understand. Sometimes we have back sets physically, spiritually, sometimes financially, sometimes with our family, whatever it may be. We don't maybe understand all those things, but God allows our faith to be tested just to see if we're going to trust the Lord. And I shared with you Adrian Rogers' statement, a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. A faith that hadn't been tested. And when you have those tests and you make it through and you're resilient and you know God didn't let you down, then the next test, you're more confident, and maybe the test will get bigger, but you have to do that. And we watch Abraham's failures. That should encourage us to don't quit, keep on. Maybe there are times that we do drift and we shouldn't, and we have a little struggle with it, but we confess it, we repent, we move on, and we learn from it. And so there were three major tests. He had the test of truthfulness. You remember he got in a situation about his wife, and he said, "I want you to tell them you're my sister." Well, you know that was a lie. She was a beautiful woman. He was afraid that they were going to kill him. And so he shouldn't have been there in the first place. And then when you get out of God's will a little bit, next thing you know, you're out of God's will more. And he lied after that. He was lying about it, and that didn't help his testimony. So he said, "You tell them." We're tested, and the focus is to get out of the test, but sometimes we're not focusing on God. And he tried to work it out himself. Have you ever tried to do that, sort of work it out yourself? Maybe not even think that I've got to pray now, and I got to commit this to God now. And a little bit later on, when it's all going awry, you say, "Oh, you know, I should have committed that to God. I should have talked to him about it. I should have prayed about it. I should have fasted over this situation." But he compromised, and he really lost part of his testimony there. And then there was the test of generosity. He gave Lot the better land. That was a good thing for him to do. God blessed Abraham because he was generous. And that principle still abides. If we're generous, God will bless us. Those who give will be given too. If you're generous to others, probably you'll discover people will be generous to you. And certainly God will pour out his generosity. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. And so that land south of there, before you get to where the Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea, was a beautiful plain area, a great farming area, and a place for cattle and all of that. And he went there. But there again, Abram was trusting God. He knew God would see to it that he was blessed, and my, he was. And then there's a test of patience, which is similar to the other, but full truthfulness, generosity, and then patience. And he failed there. Sometimes we fail, don't we? We shouldn't, but he did. And he let his wife talk him into going into the handmaid and Hagar and having a baby. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's plan. That was working it out themselves through human philosophy, human way of thinking. This is the way I'm going to work this out. And that created problems, and I still think it creates some problems even today. Here's an essential truth we need, and that is when facing the unknown, remember this, nothing is impossible with God. And Abraham got to thinking, well, we got to work this thing out ourselves. But God told him, you're going to have a seed. So he backslid long enough to face the consequences of that because he didn't take it to the Lord. James 13:4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? Worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Be patient. Wait on the Lord, that you may be perfect or complete or mature and entire, wanting nothing. It takes care of it. Just wait on the Lord, and God will always keep his promises, even if the path is unknown. God's going to keep his promises. We can't always see what God is doing, but here's what we can do. We can always trust what God is doing. Always trust him. You didn't get that job you thought you'd get, or you lost that job, or something happened in your life. We just have to trust God. So we have faith to follow, and then faith for the journey. We obey him, we start following him, and then we have to go. And then faith to sacrifice. Faith to sacrifice. That's the third area. Faith to sacrifice. And then here's the ultimate request that we see that God causes, an ultimate request. The promise was going to be fulfilled, and he believed that at this point, and that there would be the raising of Isaac, and he had to follow God. And look at what God told him to do. In Genesis 22, I don't know if you have it in your notes, but you can turn there, Genesis 22:1-3. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abram, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take thou thy son, and get the full blunt of this. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood, cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went in unto the place of which God had told him. He was obeying the Lord, and God told him what to do. This was years later after the promise came, and Isaac was probably maybe a teenager at that time, a number of years later, maybe a little older than that. But this is a shocking thing that God is asking him to do. But the amazing thing is that he got up the next morning and started doing what God told him to do. He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait. He had learned through all of these other experiences, hey, God's there. God's going to keep his promise. And he grew and grew in the Lord, matured in the Lord in that journey. And now the ultimate test, you talk about a test. A test. And this is not a fairy tale, folks. This really happened. It really did happen. And so God gave him this unusual command, and then he got up and was following the Lord. And as I said, he learned from those previous tests, and he learned to obey God was the right thing to do. So he was commanded to kill his son. And that'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? Abraham believed God would either raise him from the dead, or maybe he believed God would stop him. I don't know. Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith, there it is again, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, that was his thinking, from whence he received him in a figure. He believed God. Now, this is raw faith right here. I mean raw faith in its purest form to God to ask him to do that, to take his son, the promised seed that he said the whole world was going to be blessed by, and to kill him, and to raise up his knife and to kill him. And so chapter 22 and verse 4, says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off." And then he talked to the two that were going with him, said, "You stay here, we're going up there." But notice, he said, "We will be back." That was faith in action. He knew somehow that they were going to be able to come back. So it took him about 3 days to get there. And those 3 days, he could have changed his mind. He could have been going down that road and all of that and thinking, God, surely God's not going to ask me to do this. Surely this is too much. And God's a loving God and a merciful God. And God's not going to put me through this. God's not going to bring this trial upon me. But no doubt the devil attacked him. I can't prove that from the scripture, but I believe he certainly did, because he's the enemy of doing God's will. But he went on, didn't he? 3 days he could have changed his mind, but he did not change his mind. He didn't back out. So there was the ultimate request and then the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. Isaac was asking, "Where's the lamb?" Genesis 22:8, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. Can you imagine being Isaac? So, "Well, hey, Dad, where's the lamb? We're going up to offer a sacrifice." And he said, "Don't worry about it, son. God will provide," and I like that word, "himself." And that's ultimately what he did, will provide himself as the lamb, will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So here he goes, and look at all of that. He laid those stones down and built that altar, and then he bound his son on that altar. The scripture says he bound him, tied him on that altar, and there he walks over with that knife, and he goes up with his hand just like that. And he's getting ready to come down. He's going to kill him. I mean, he's aiming right straight down on him. If you can picture all of that in your mind, here is this boy on that altar. And here's daddy, his daddy. And he's coming up with a knife, and he's going to do what God said and kill him. That's faith, isn't it? That's a lot of faith in believing that God's going to take care of it. And suddenly, guess what? God intervened through the angel of the Lord and stopped him and would not let him do it. God intervened. Look at verse 9. Let's go there right quick. In chapter 22 and verse 9. "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.'" Is there anything or any situation you would withhold from God? God, you have to trust God. We have to trust God. We don't always understand it, I promise you that. But God provided the sacrifice. And thank God he does provide the sacrifice. 4,000 years later, the promise God had made, he provided through himself, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he died for our sins. 1 John 4:9-10. "In this was manifest the love of God toward us." Aren't you glad God loved us? That he loves the world. "Because that God sent his only begotten Son," that sounds familiar, doesn't it, "into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The word propitiation literally means the covering for our sins. Our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Isaac, Jesus was willingly laid down his life. That was the attitude of Isaac. It's an amazing privilege for Abraham. He lived out before us a picture of Christ and gave us an example, a great example of faith in what it is, and a type there of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus dying in our place? We should have been crucified. We should have died and gone to hell. We should have suffered the consequences of our sins. We should have had the knife come into us. But God provided Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God he died on the cross as our covering of our sins, our propitiator, our propitiation. And so Abraham became a friend of God. How? Through his faith. Through his faith. And we can be a friend of God through our faith. So he continued the journey. How? Through faith. If he hadn't had faith, he would have quit. But he just kept on going and kept on focusing on God. And he repented when he failed. There was some inconsistency. There was some faltering. But all the time, he was growing, growing, growing in the Lord. Uncertainty, do you have any in your future? I do. I don't know what's going to happen in my future. I really don't. Do you? No, we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? We have no idea what tomorrow holds. But we do know who holds tomorrow. You've heard that cliche, but we know that God holds tomorrow. We should know that. And so what are the problems? I don't know. But we have to trust God. We have to trust God. Some of you have been through some great trials and many different ways. But through it all, you just have to trust God. Now, the songwriter said, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And that's what we have to do. And though there's an uncertainty, our life is a life of Christian journey. We should not worry about the future. God has your future in his hands. Don't worry about what's going to happen in America. Don't worry about your finances. Don't worry about your health in the future. Don't worry about when you're going to die. Don't worry about if you're going to have cancer or not, or all these things. Don't worry about the outcome. Just trust God. That's just what we have to do. Trust God. Walk by faith. Don't try to scheme like Abraham did one time. It won't work. And then if we'll do that and just trust God, he will be your friend and my friend, and he will reward us for trusting him. We just have to walk by faith. Father, thank you that you will take us through these times if we trust you. And I pray that we'd be people of faith. And I admit, God, to you that sometimes it's a challenge to trust. It's a challenge to wait upon you. It's a challenge to really believe that the things that we face and the things that are so difficult that you can take care of them. And yet we know you can. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible with God. And Lord, help us to walk in that blessed peace, in that sweet peace that only you can give, as we are your friends because we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.